Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, July 27th, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. We thank you that as we witness the apostasy and degeneracy of Client Nation USA, that Jesus Christ controls history. As we witness the satanic attack of Russia on the Ukraine, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And we pray, sir, that in these days you might open the eyes of people all over the world to see the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace gospel, that many sons might be brought into glory. And during these times, we pray that the Christians in this country would turn back to you and to your word, that the pivot might enlarge, that you might be free to deliver this client nation. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4. We'll start the corrected translation at verse 1. Beloved ones, that's royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God. But analyze the spirits, the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God. Because many false prophets, many false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. This is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he is from God. In other words, he teaches the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is the eternal Son of God. They teach the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God and the hypostatic union of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, taking on true humanity to solve mankind's problem of sin. Verse 3. But every persuasive speaker, false teacher, who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed Scriptures, that is orthodox Christology and soteriology, absolutely is not from God, not from the living and true God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom the Antichrist, you have heard that he is coming. John has taught about eschatological doctrine. He's taught about the tribulation and the Antichrist and the false prophet. He's taught all those things. But here he's talking about the spirit of the Antichrist. And he says, but now in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are already in the world. Right now, in the church age, they keep on being in the world right now. And there are more and more and more of them in the world now than when John was teaching. Verse 4. You and only you are from God, dear children, students under authority, disciples of God, and you have overcome them. You have cleared the hurdles of people testing. They had in the 1 John is actually a polemic against Cerinthian Gnosticism. Cerinthus was a believer, and he was actually in John's congregation, and he led multitudes of believers into the cosmic system, teaching Gnosticism, false doctrine. It was tremendous people testing, and a lot of the believers crashed and burned. They didn't clear the hurdle of people testing. And Cerinthus led many, many believers out of John's congregation into the cosmic system. And so he says, but you being those of you who have lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, you've developed God's problem-solving devices, you've cleared the hurdles of people testing, you recognize these false teachers, you've distinguished between sound doctrinal teachers and false teachers, and you have overcome them. You've cleared the hurdles of people testing specifically, but momentum testing. People testing is a part of momentum testing. Now that's as far as we exegeted. We haven't exegeted the rest of verse 4. But in verse 4, the Apostle John uses the personal pronoun sue. And it's very important that you know exactly who he's talking about when he says, uses this pronoun, sue. It's very, very important. It's the word you. Now, there were a lot of believers in John's congregation, and many of them crashed and burned. They did not distinguish between the false teachers, Cerinthus, and false doctrine of Gnosticism, and they were influenced to enter into Satan's cosmic system, and they crashed and burned. That's not who you is referring to. You is referring to those who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, who have developed God's problem-solving devices and have them out on the flat line of their soul, and have cleared the hurdles of people testing. And that's who we have here. So John is putting the spotlight on you. But it's very important to recognize who you refers to. You refers here to winner believers. Winner believers living the spiritual life. You refers to those spiritually mature believers who have had virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. You refers to those spiritually mature believers who have overcome the world, Satan's cosmic system, and those false teachers and the spirit of Antichrist communicators. You refers to those spiritually mature believers that have overcome Satan's cosmic system. You refers to the spiritually mature believers who have cleared the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Suffering for blessing, when you reach the point, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual adulthood, now you're qualified for one of the greatest categories of greater grace blessing, suffering for blessing. And it includes three parts: providential preventative suffering, momentum testing, and evidence testing. Now, in this passage, the Apostle John is putting the spotlight especially on momentum testing and people testing, on false teachers, on the spirit of the Antichrist, which was operating. And certainly, these false teachers and spirit of Antichrist are operating all over in America today. They are politicians. They are behind the pulpits in churches. They are socialists. They are liberals all throughout this country. And they are false teachers. And they have influenced believers and led many, many believers into Satan's cosmic system. And that's why you must distinguish between false teachers, the spirit of the Antichrist, and sound doctrinal teachers. You and only you, believers living the spiritual life, are from God, dear children, students under authority, and you have overcome them, the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist. You've cleared the hurdles of people testing. And we have in this verse the verb nikao. N-I-K-A long O, nikao. And this is translated overcome. It is a transitive verb used in our verse, and it means to conquer, to overcome, to vanquish. Winner believers living the spiritual life have conquered and overcome and vanquished them. Now the issue is, now you got to know who them is. They have conquered and overcome them. And that refers to the false teachers and their false teaching. The spirit of Antichrist in verse 3. They have cleared all the hurdles of momentum testing, especially people testing, distinguishing sound doctrinal teachers from false teachers. John is referring specifically to the people testing from the Gnostics in his day and their false teaching and the spirit of Antichrist. As a result of clearing these hurdles of people testing and all momentum testing, they have accelerated their spiritual growth and spiritual momentum, resulting in attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in their hearts, having that great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, which motivates that great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. You and only you, winner believers living the spiritual life, you are from God, dear children, students under authority, and you have overcome them. You have cleared the hurdles of people testing, momentum testing, specifically the false teachers and the spirit of Antichrist. And now we have, and the rest of the verse, the two he's, He number one, and He number two. Two He's. Because greater is He number one, that is in you. That's He number one. We have the conjunction ha ti plus the comparative of the adjective megas, plus the present active indicative of the to be verb eimi, plus the nominative singular, nominative masculine singular of the definite article ha. Ha is He number one. And the prepositional phrase en plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su. All right, ha ti. H-O-T-I. And this is the causal use of ha-ti. It is correctly translated because. Ha-ti gives the cause that enabled these winner believers to overcome the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist, and clear the hurdles of momentum testing. And then we have the adjective megas. M-E-G-A-S, megas. And megas means large or great, but we have the comparative form of megas. And the comparative form, it looks like this, meizon. That's M-E-I-Z, long O-N, meizon. That's the comparative form of megas, and it is correctly translated greater, greater. And then we have the to be verb a me E I M I, the to be verb translated is, and now he number one, the nominative masculine singular of the definite article, ha. Just a definite article, ha. And that is he number one. He who is. He number one. Who is he number one? He who is. And then N plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun, su. N plus su. In you. So he number one is in you. Corrected translation, because greater is he who is in you. All right, that's he number one. One. He who is in you is the living and true God. And here you are sitting here this evening. And you know, it's interesting in the time in which we live. We live in times that in John's day, they didn't have emails. In John's day, they didn't have MP3 classes that were sent out all over. In John's day, you wanted to get doctrine, you had to get your ass in Bible class. It matches. And that's the way it worked in John's day. Well, we live in now all of this inventions, technology. So now, and most of the congregation of Upland Bible Church is non-face-to-face. It's all over this country, and it's in different nations around the world. And they get the classes here non-face-to-face. And that's the greatest part of this ministry, non-face-to-face. Now, we also have another problem. We went through the COVID period, and that we happened to have an elderly congregation. And with COVID, that eliminated a bunch, and some of them just stayed out, started out with COVID, and they stayed out. That's part of it. And then the other part is that they're just getting too damned to be nothing but old farts. And health problems and all of the things that go with it. And that cuts down face to face. Now I'll be real honest with you. There's no comparison to face-to-face Bible teaching. None. Not even close. But for people all over this country and in other places of the world, they don't have the ability to have sound doctrinal teaching face-to-face. Well, then, non-face-to-face picks up the slack. But it takes tremendous self-discipline, more self-discipline. See, when you come face-to-face, I demand self-discipline on your part. I demand great manners, poise. I demand that you concentrate. No talking, no getting up and walking around, no flopping on the floor. We haven't had that happen. But if we might have a holy roller come in, they flop and roll around for a while. I have to tell you, my father, my grandmother was a believer in Jesus Christ, and she wanted to take her sons to church. Well, she took them to a church, but it was a holy roller church. And my dad and his brothers were in there sitting down, and all of a sudden some of the people got up and got down and started rolling on the floor. My dad and his brothers got up on the pews and laughed and laughed and pointed and laughed. And they never wanted to go back. I don't blame them. And the pastor didn't want them to come back because they were going to stand up and point and laugh. It takes far greater self-discipline. I demand good manners and poise and no talking. But when you are non-face-to-face, there are a million different things that can come on to distract you away from concentrating on the teaching of the Word of God. So can it be done? Absolutely. But it takes even greater self-discipline on your part. Now, we have some wonderful, wonderful believers out there getting non-face-to-face Bible teaching, and we are happy that it just seems that keeps growing and growing and growing. More people wanting the teaching, sound doctrinal teaching of the Word of God. So because greater is He who is in you. He who is in you is the living and true God. Point two, the living and true God indwells every church age believer. Here you are sitting here this evening, and the living and true God is indwelling every single one of you. In your body. Three, this refers to the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, which makes your body a temple. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit makes your body a temple. For the indwelling of Jesus Christ, He indwells you, the Shekinah glory. And for the indwelling of God the Father, you are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, and God the Father. That's what it means. He number one, He who is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, in you. Greater, because greater is He who is in you. He number one. Now we have He number two. than he that is in the world. And this is the disjunctive particle eta plus the nominative masculine singular of the definite article ha, once again, plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of cosmos with the definite article. Eta. Long E, one letter. That's a disjunctive particle denoting comparison, and you correctly translate it than. And now we have he number two. This time the nominative masculine singular of the definite article ha. Again, but this time it's he number two, and he number two refers to Satan. He number one, the living and true God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He number two refers to Satan. Again, we have the to be verb a me has been left out by ellipsis, but must be supplied. And then we have the prepositional phrase en plus the dative of cosmos. E-N-K-O-S-M-O-S. He number two is in the world. So he number one is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But he number two is in the world, and that is Satan. And the word for world is cosmos. One. Cosmos refers to the world and everything that belongs to it. Cosmos refers to the world and everything that belongs to it. Two, the phrase, he who is in the world, refers to Satan as the ruler of planet Earth. Right now, the ruler of this planet is a fallen angel, Satan. So the phrase, he who is in the world, refers to Satan, who is the ruler of planet Earth. Three, it refers to Satan as the one who has invented the cosmic system. He invented the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred to carry out his plan. And his plan is to rule planet Earth. And he is ruling the United States of America. The politicians and the administration of this country is totally influenced by the ruler of planet Earth as we speak. So it refers to Satan as the one who has invented the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, to carry out his plan to rule planet Earth. So this is a very, very powerful verse. Corrected translation. You and only you, believers living, winner believers living the spiritual life, are from God, dear children, students under authority, disciples of God, and you have overcome them. You've cleared the hurdle of people testing, the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist, because greater is he, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who is in you, than he, Satan, who is in the world. Well, this verse is a part of my prayers every single day. Every single day, 1 John 4:4 is in my prayers every day. Greater, Father, greater are you, the Son, and the Spirit in me than he who is in the world, Satan. And therefore, Father, I pray, you are the living and true God. Do not allow the ruler of this world in any way to undermine and destroy the ministry at Upland Bible Church, or me and the winner believers here who are faithfully growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And that's a part of my daily prayer. Of course, my daily prayer getting longer and longer and longer, more and more people being added to it. And that's great. I love praying. I love praying for many of you. And it's exciting. But this is a part of my prayer life. And my prayers are full of Bible doctrine, full of verses in the Bible. And I always pray, Father, Jesus Christ said to Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" He said, "Yes, I do." "Then feed my sheep." And then I express to the Father, "Father, I love you. You know I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing more that I want to do than feed your sheep. So if you, in your infinite and matchless grace, because I don't earn or deserve one thing from you, not one blessing. I don't deserve one blessing from God. But if you could see fit, in your infinite and matchless grace, to give me the health and the strength to keep studying and teaching your word and feeding the Lord's sheep, well, sir, I'd be forever grateful." And that is a part of my prayer every single day, along with 1 John 4:4, a part of my prayer every single day. And many of you are a part of those prayers too, and it's a privilege and honor. You and only you, winner believers living the spiritual life, are from God, dear children, students under authority. That's a very difficult thing today because we have too many arrogant believers that can't function under authority. Students under authority, disciples of God, and you have overcome them. You've cleared the hurdles of people testing, false teachers, spirit of Antichrist. Because greater is he who is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, than he who is in the world, Satan. 1. Believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Providential preventative suffering, momentum testing, evidence testing. Point 2. In 1 John 4:4, the emphasis is on clearing the hurdles of momentum testing. Thought testing, involving Gnosticism. In John's day, it was Gnosticism. In our day, all different categories of false doctrine. False doctrine, from politicians, from socialists, from liberals, from religious leaders. False doctrine, false teaching. That's thought testing. It just so happened in John's day, it was Gnosticism. And then people testing, which is specifically is here is false teachers and the spirit of Antichrist, which is greater in our day than it was in John's day. And then there's also system testing and disaster testing. So in 1 John 4:4, the emphasis is on clearing the hurdles of momentum testing. Thought testing, false doctrine, people testing, false teachers, spirit of Antichrist, system testing, disaster testing. 3, momentum testing is designed for 2 purposes. Momentum testing has been designed by God for 2 purposes. First of all, to provide you believers living the spiritual life, you believers who are growing up in the grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of the Word of God, you believers who are consistently and faithfully assembling in a sound Bible teaching church and metabolizing Bible doctrine, getting that doctrine in your heart, it is to provide you with the opportunity to apply the doctrine that you have learned. It gives you the opportunity to apply the doctrine you have learned. And what is that doctrine you have learned? Well, all of God's problem-solving devices. God has 10 problem-solving devices, and those problem-solving devices are precisely correct procedure of how you clear the hurdles of momentum testing. So first of all, it provides for you, the believer living the spiritual life, the opportunity to apply the doctrine that you have learned. And secondly, when you clear that hurdle, one thing about running hurdles, you don't slow down between the first hurdle and the second hurdle, then slow down before the third hurdle, and slow down before the next one. You increase your momentum. You accelerate. You accelerate. You are sprinting over the hurdle, and you accelerate to the next one, and accelerate to the next one, and accelerate. So you accelerate. You accelerate your spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. And that's what happens every time you who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you've got God's problem-solving devices out on the flat line of your soul. You know them, and now you qualified for momentum testing, and now you can apply that precisely correct procedure, clear the hurdles of momentum testing, and accelerate your spiritual momentum. Accelerate your spiritual growth. No believer attains spiritual maturity apart from clearing the hurdles of momentum testing. Point four. Spiritual growth results from consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. But spiritual growth is accelerated from the application of doctrine to the categories of testing and passing the testing, clearing the hurdle. Spiritual growth results from consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine, which is what you're doing right now. That's great. That's great. That's spiritual growth. But spiritual growth is accelerated from the application of doctrine to the categories of testing and passing the testing. You clear the hurdle and increase your spiritual momentum and spiritual growth on in your life. That's where I expect you all to be. And not only am I a pastor, but I'm a coach. A coach. And you all get to run hurdles. No, some of you get into other things like wrestling. And by the way, God likes wrestling too. Jesus Christ was a wrestler. He's the best wrestler ever. I've studied the Bible and I've seen God likes wrestling. He's even wrestled some people. God loves track and field. I haven't found anything in the Bible that he likes soccer. Oh, if you really like soccer, that's fine. Not a sin. You can't go to heaven. No, you can't. All suffering is divided into two categories. Suffering for testing and blessing, which is the believer living the spiritual life. And suffering for discipline and punishment, which is the believer making bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. Point five. No believer can fulfill the plan of God and glorify the Lord to the maximum apart from clearing the hurdles of momentum testing. No believer can fulfill the plan of God and glorify the Lord to the maximum apart from clearing the hurdles of momentum testing. Six, some of the testing in the spiritual life is suffering, suffering for blessing. Some of the testing in the spiritual life is prosperity. It's not all adversity, and it's not all prosperity. But some of the testing in the spiritual life is suffering or adversity, and some of it is prosperity. Seven, all categories of testing in the spiritual life are designed for blessing. Therefore, whether it's adversity or prosperity, the testing is for your good. All categories of testing in the spiritual life are designed for blessing, and therefore, whether it's adversity or prosperity, the testing is for your good. Eight, human volition. You all have a free will. You all have a volition. It has a positive pull and a negative pull. Human volition plays an important part in testing, because you, the believer, must make the right decision to skillfully and accurately apply God's word to the situation in your life. Human volition plays an important part in testing, because the believer must make the right decision to skillfully and accurately apply God's word to the situation in your life. Now, you won't find this analogy made in any other church. Maybe you do. I just don't know any other pastor anywhere that has made this analogy. To me, this is very clear, because track and field was such an important part of my life growing up. Track and field was a major part of my life. I ran the hurdles. I ran the hurdles all the way through junior high school and high school, and then I got a scholarship to Washington State University, paid for my education. My dad couldn't afford to send me to college, but I got a full scholarship to run hurdles at Washington State University. And in the process, became the captain of the track team at WSU. And learning how to run hurdles with precisely correct procedure, as I began studying momentum testing in all of the categories, the analogy was absolutely perfect with running hurdles. Plus, I love the fact that God loves track and field. God is a track and field guy. And he makes an analogy between athletes running in the great athletic games of the ancient world and the believer, each one of you, living the spiritual life. God makes the analogy. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. So here, God the Holy Spirit is having the Apostle Paul write this down and making an analogy between running in the great athletic games of the ancient world and living the spiritual life in the church age. Verse 24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Therefore, You, believers living the spiritual life, live the spiritual life in such a way that you get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games, the ancient athletic games, goes into strict training, tremendous self-discipline. They do it to get a crown that will not last, a crown that's temporary. But we do it. We live the spiritual life. We run the race of the spiritual life to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I discipline my body and keep it in training so that after I have kerusoed, proclaimed the plan and policy of the King, Jesus Christ, to others, I myself, the Apostle Paul, will not be disqualified for the prize, crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. So, one, in verse 24, God wants us to run in such a way, to live this unique spiritual life of the church age in such a way so that we get the prize. And the prize are crowns, Stephanos, crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. So in verse 24, God wants us to run the spiritual life. The spiritual life begins at salvation. The gun goes off. Boom! You believed in Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of the race. And that race goes on until physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first. From the time of your faith in Christ to your physical death or the rapture, we are running the spiritual life. So in verse 24, God wants us to run the spiritual life in such a way so that we get the prize, the crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Two, verse 25 says, this demands going into strict training. Verse 25 says, this demands going into strict training, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. It demands that you are keep on being filled with the Spirit, the power to live the spiritual life. Walk by means of the Spirit, you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. It demands spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine so that you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. It demands executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, not your plan. Your plans suck, but God's plan is perfect, absolutely perfect. Executing God's plan, will, and purpose for our lives. So again, point two, verse 25 says this demands going into strict training, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Three, verse 25 says we do this to win a crown that will last forever. It's awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, but it glorifies God forever and ever and ever for all eternity. So verse 25 says, we do this to win a crown that will last forever. Now I ran in track and field and I got trophies and medals and all those things. Big deal. I got trophies and medals at home. And they're temporary. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. These are forever. Forever. My trophies and that, they're not going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. None of my trophies are going to heaven. None of the medals I got, they're not going to heaven. I'm going to heaven, but they're not going to heaven. They're temporary. They don't mean a thing. I don't even bother to bore people to come over and show, hey, look at this one here. I don't do that. I've even got them put away where people can't even see them. It was, at the time, fine. But there's another crown, crowns that I hope all of you running the spiritual life to receive a crown at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. An eternal crown that lasts forever. So verse 25 says, we do this to win a crown that will last forever. What are those? The crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory, the order of the morning star. And those crowns last forever. The crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory, the order of the morning star. 4. Verse 26 says, we must not run aimlessly. That is, we must know what we are doing. And that is precisely correct procedure. Verse 26 says, we must not run aimlessly. That is, we must know what we are doing. Precisely correct procedure. 5. We have to learn the technique to clear the 10 hurdles of momentum testing. And that means we must learn God's problem-solving devices. He has 10 problem-solving devices. We need to know them inside and out. All 10 of them. Have them out on the flat line, forward line of troops on the soul. Precisely correct procedure. So that when we're blessed with momentum testing and hurdles to clear, we can take and accurately apply the perfect problem-solving device and clear the hurdle. So verse 26 says we must not run aimlessly. We must know what we are doing, precisely correct procedure. 5, we have to learn the technique to clear the 10 hurdles of momentum testing, and that is we must learn God's problem-solving devices. 6, God's problem-solving devices provide the perfect technique, to clear each hurdle of momentum testing and bring us to the objective. And what is that objective? Spiritual maturity and win the prize at the judgment seat of Christ. So God's problem-solving devices provide the perfect technique to clear each hurdle of momentum testing and bring us to the objective of spiritual maturity. 7. This takes great self-discipline and intensive training in the Word of God. Great self-discipline and intensive training in the Word of God. Now, when I was running in track and field, when I was at the Wazoo, even in high school, we had the toughest track coach in the, well, he was one of the toughest track coaches in the nation. And every single year, John Rogers High School was the state champion, city champion, first, never worse than second. Year after year after year. And you always have different kids. But he took us. When we turned out for track, my first year, the first year I was in high school, it was my sophomore year. I was in junior high school, my freshman year. My sophomore year, first year in high school, turned out for track. The whole team. He says, everybody, you're going to run up to the beacon. Well, the beacon is a mountain. Miles away. It's a mountain. Everybody run up to the beacon. And then he said, I will be up there. You will run up. I will then, when you get there and touch the beacon, I will sign your name off. And then you can run back. Well, everybody. That meant, I wasn't a distance runner. I was a hurdler. I was the sprinter. Everybody. The shot putters. The shot putters ran up. They did, or they were off the team. Everybody. The weight men, the distance men, the sprinters, everybody. That was the first 2 weeks. That's all we did. And ran miles while it was flat, and then going up the mountain to the beacon and touching the beacon, and Coach Walters was there, and run back. Everybody did that. And after the first 2 weeks, I was so pooped and worn out, I was considering, I think I might not turn out for track. But I didn't. I turned out again the next day and the next day. And that would took great, great self-discipline. But you know what? Now it takes greater self-discipline in the spiritual life than that took. It takes greater self-discipline to make a good decision, to be here for me, to be here every day, and study, and then teach, study and teach, study and teach, every day. I know you all go on your vacations, that's fine. You go on your vacations, you go on your fishing, you go on your hunting, you go on your hiking, you go on all the things you go on. Well, that's fine. I don't. And I have the most beautiful helper corresponding to me, my wife. And she's right there with me, 100%. 100% with me on this. And family and friends, they travel here and there. And Debbie has had sisters that just went over to Europe to go bicycling in France. When I graduated from high school, I was selected as a part of a people-to-people organization. And it was started by President Eisenhower. The objective was to have high school students be ambassadors for the United States of America and go over to Europe and live in families over there. You had to qualify. And you had to go through all different kinds of qualifications, and I was interviewed again and again and again. And it was very strenuous to be selected. And I was selected, and then we stopped off at the Washington, D.C., and they explained to us, you are ambassadors for the United States of America. You're representing this nation when you go over to Europe. And we went to 10 countries over there. And I lived with families. While I was there, I lived with a family in Rome, a family in Austria, a family in Holland, and a family in, I said Rome. And we went to France, and I went to Paris. And all I can remember about Paris is this. They hated the United States when we were there. Yankee, go home. Americans, go home. All these plastered all over Paris. And that's all I saw and remembered. And I talked to Debbie. I said, I would never want to go to Paris again. I'll tell you, I did like going to Rome, Italy. And I stayed with a family that had a son that was my age, and his name was Ricardo. Richard Ricardo. And guess what? He ran hurdles. And he took me through Rome on a motorcycle. We went through Rome by night on a motorcycle. Then he took me to where the Italian track team was training. And I was told that take my track shoes because you might get to run. So I had my track shoes with me. He took me where the Italian national team was training. And he took me out and introduced me to the track coach. And the track coach wanted to, he explained that I ran hurdles that in the United States. And he wanted to know what my times were. And the track coach at Italy says, would you change your allegiance from America to Italy? Because you would be our number one hurdler on the Italian team. I said, no, I wouldn't do that. But I said, he said, well, will you watch my hurdlers and help them any way you can? I said, I'd be glad to. I said, can I run a little bit? He said, absolutely. So I got to run some there where the Italian team, and I helped, looked at his hurdlers, and they were doing a pretty excellent job. But I never wanted to go to France again after seeing all that hatred toward America. But I don't have any desire to do any of that. With whatever health and strength God has given me, I want to give all of it, in studying and teaching so I can feed the Lord's sheep, because I do love the Lord Jesus Christ so much. This is my life. And the Lord can pull the plug anytime He wants, and when He does, well, I got about somewhere between 6 to 9 months of teaching in there in my notes. So we'll let, I don't know, maybe Rick Castillo, he'll come up and teach those notes. Or maybe Charlie Flood, Don Levchuk. Not Cliff. No. So God's problem-solving devices provide the perfect technique to clear each hurdle of momentum testing and bring us to the objective of spiritual maturity. 7, this takes great self-discipline and intensive training in the Word of God so that you are not disqualified for the prize at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 27. So, in momentum testing, God wants you to become a spiritual hurdler. Momentum testing is analogous to running the hurdles. And so this great passage, just perfect place to see all of this. And we'll take it up at this point next time and continue. Father, we thank You for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.